precious book, though it's worn and faded now, which recalls those happy days of long ago.
Hello, friends. Well, this is the last time I will appear before you by way of these film strips and tape recordings. It has been a real pleasure to tell you the story of my conversion. I hope and pray that by this time you understand that the pure Bible truths are the only safe guide to eternal life. I beg of you to realize that anyone who attempts in any way to detract from or add to the Bible truths are not of God, and those not of God are of the devil. Believe God's holy word. Put your trust in Jesus. Learn to love him, and because you love him, obey his commandments. Do these things, my friends, and we will meet over yonder and forever be with Jesus. And now, here is the record that opened the last of these discussions.
There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. But one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold. Away on the mountain, wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care, away from the tender shepherd's care. But all through the mountains thundering, and up from the rocky steep, there arose a glad cry to the gates of heaven, rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angel sang around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own.
Shall we pray? Loving and gracious Father, accept of our thanks for blessing us in these discussions. Thy Spirit has been present and guided our minds into paths of truths and righteousness. As we enter into this last session, bless us, we pray thee, in a very special way. Make us determined to exercise faith, to grasp fully thy saving grace. Help us to love and obey thee. Help us especially to emerge from these studies fully equipped and prepared to let our light shine to those about us, so that they too may come to the knowledge of salvation's open door. Help us to lead others to the cross, even as we ourselves have been led. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
I surely do hate to see these studies come to an end, Uncle Julius.
So do I. I think they have contributed to the most gratifying and wonderful experience of my life.
They have opened up new and wonderful possibilities, Uncle Julius. An eternity of wonderful possibilities.
At least, Nettie, Carl, I do hope that we've been able to plant in your hearts the desire for more study and for a better understanding of the unmatched wonders of God's love. The study of the plan of salvation and the love and sacrifice that went into that plan will be the study and marvel of angels and the redeemed through all the countless ages of eternity.
Carl and I have already discovered that the more we hear about and study the Word of God, the more interesting it becomes and the more anxious we are to go right on studying.
It'll ever be thus.
Which brings us naturally to the question, what is today's study about, Uncle Julius?
It can hardly be given a title, Carl, because it's more or less a summation of the general topic of salvation. However, I have given it the title of Come Home.
Come Home.
That's a beautiful title, Uncle Julius.
Yes.
Come Home.
I love to open this final study with two verses from the parable of the lost sheep. Luke 15, verses 6 and 7.
I'll let you read them, Nettie.
Thank you. Luke 15, 6 and 7. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance.
Shall we pause a minute and meditate upon the truths of that? Let's assume that I'm a sinner. My recording angel hates to do it, but he does. He records in my book my many evil deeds and thoughts. At the required intervals, my recording angel sends reports to heaven, and there my name and deeds are entered into the book of evil deeds. Then I yield to the pleadings of the Holy Spirit. I repent of my sins, and I'm forgiven. Immediately, the angel in charge of the book of life happily inscribes my name in that book. From the throne of God, there goes out the glad news that sinner Julius Tucker has repented. A wave of rejoicing and singing goes forth from the throne. Another sinner has repented. Another lost sheep has been found. Another loved member of God's human race has come home.
That's a beautiful, beautiful picture, Uncle Julius.
And it's exactly what happens, Nettie, when you or Carl or I or when anyone repents.
You know, I used to think that it would be difficult, hard to be a Christian. But I see it isn't. It's a pleasure, a delight.
Once we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, once we repent of our sins, then the way becomes easy. If we perchance get in a rough spot, all we need to do is say, Jesus, I need your help, and we have it. That quickly we have it. Why, all heaven would be emptied and sent to my rescue if it were necessary.
Do you mean that every angel would be sent down here to help me, just me?
Yes, Nettie, every angel and Jesus himself.
Oh.
Once we accept him as our Savior and partner, then the responsibility of keeping us safe and secure in the faith is his, and he surrounds us with heavenly protection. Satan and his angels could not come anywhere near us, only as Jesus permits them to. It is thus that we're tried in the fire of trial and come forth more like our blessed Savior. It is thus that we gain in strength and grow in grace.
We humans would think it pretty wonderful to become President of the United States and have the Secret Service men protect us. But I can see that it's even more wonderful to become members of the royal family of heaven and have the angels protect us.
Infinitely more wonderful, Carl. Why, a single angel, commissioned from on high, could with one stroke of his hand destroy all the armies of the world and turn the world upside down.
I'm beginning to glimpse just a little of the wonders of the plan of salvation. And with that glimpse, Uncle Julius, comes a feeling of gratitude and love for such a Savior as Jesus.
Yes, Nettie. Who are we that the Creator of all things should even be mindful of us? Yet he would have put the plan of salvation into effect, even if only to save me. For only me, little insignificant me, Jesus left the glories of heaven and gave himself over to the scorn and ridicule of mankind and died on the cross. For me, Jesus did all that.
How ungrateful we humans are when we don't accept of his sacrifice and love and obey and trust him fully.
Yes, Carl. The Holy Spirit pleads with each individual to accept Jesus. But so many of us say with King Agrippa of old, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. We're also like Felix, who said, as recorded in Acts 24:25, read it, Carl, please.
And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.
But the convenient time never came. Felix never called Paul back. Felix was lost. Yes, it's a dangerous thing to put off the day of salvation. Now is the day of our salvation. Now is the time to yield to the Spirit of God. We must not resist the pleadings of the Holy Spirit. Please read Acts 7:51.
Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye.
When we fail to respond to the call of the Holy Spirit, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30.
Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
Now please read Hebrews 10:29.
Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despot unto the Spirit of grace.
When we have grieved the Holy Spirit so that it no longer pleads with us, we have committed the unpardonable sin, and there is no hope for us. Doing despot to the Holy Spirit, not obeying the dictates of the Holy Spirit, that is the unpardonable sin. Read Matthew 12:31 and 32, please.
Matthew 12:31 and 32. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come.
So we must not refuse to turn from sin or fail to answer the call of God under the pleadings of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Now is the day of salvation. Let us not put it off, but answer now to the call of the Holy Spirit to come home. But once I passed this way, and then the silent door swings on its hinges, opens, closes, and no more I pass this way. So while I may, with all my might, I will assay sweet comfort and delight to all I meet upon the pilgrim's way, for no man travels twice the great highway that climbs through darkness up to light, through night to day. Yes, now is the time to answer the call of our Father to come home. Nettie, read John 14:1-3, please.
Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
The Holy Spirit is calling us home to heaven. Heaven is a real place where real people do real things. There's a city in heaven, a real wonderful city.
Hebrews 11:16. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city.
God himself hath prepared and built that city.
Hebrews 11:10. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God.
That city is the largest city ever to be built. By comparison, London, Paris, New York are mere villages.
Revelation 21:16. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as a breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal.
A furlong is 1/8 of a mile. The New Jerusalem will therefore be 1,500 miles in circumference, or 375 miles on each side. It's a beautiful city.
Revelation 21:18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass.
The 21st verse. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass.
The 27th verse. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life.
Within that beautiful city is the city home of the redeemed. They will also have a country estate, where they themselves shall build a country home.
Isaiah 65:17-22. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands.
It shall be a wonderfully peaceful and delightful place to live.
Isaiah 11:6. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them.
Isaiah 35:5-6. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert.
What a wonderful place our heavenly home is going to be. And Jesus calls us, pleads with us to come home. We must be there. We must bask in the forgiving smiles of God. We must have access to that exhaustless fount of vitality, the fruit of the tree of life, and never die. We must repose under the shadow of its leaves, never again grow weary. We must drink from the life-giving fountain and thirst nevermore. We must exchange the cross for the crown. We must lay down the staff and take up the palm branch. We must put off the garments of our warfare for the white robes of triumph. We must exchange the toil-worn, dusty raiment of our pilgrimage for the glorious vesture of immortality and feel that sin and the curse can never more pollute us. O day of rest and triumph, delay not thy dawning. Let the angels be quickly sent to gather the elect. Let the promise be fulfilled which bears in its train these matchless glories. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And now, Carl and Nettie, I'd like you to hear a story. Here, Carl, you be the narrator. It's all written down in this script. I'll run the tape machine. Let's go.
Thanks, Uncle Julius, for letting me narrate this story. It's the story of Mary Homer. Mary was born at the turn of the century in a humble shepherd's cottage on the side of a hill.
A girl. And I was hoping for a boy. Why, a boy would grow up to help me care for the sheep. He'd become a shepherd as I am a shepherd. A girl, oh, I...
But she's yours. Your own daughter.
But, yes, she is mine, isn't she? Even though she is a girl, she's my own flesh and blood.
I'm sure you'll learn to love her. You'll forget in time that she was a disappointment and that she wasn't...
Disappointment? Oh, well, who says I'm disappointed? Oh, look at her. Why, she's beautiful. She's mine. I already love her. Bless her sweet little heart.
Oh, look. She's...
From that moment on, Shepherd Homer was a new man. His smile was broader, his step lighter, his song more joyous.
Lottie, 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 la-da-da-dee.
Mary was a beautiful child, and as she grew into a girl of 12, her beauty became even more pronounced. She was as sweet as she was beautiful, too. The father and daughter became constant companions. Together they wandered over hill and valley, tending the sheep, singing, talking, laughing, enjoying together the free and happy life of the open range.
Oh, we'll sit right here by this brook, all right, Mary?
This is a beautiful spot. Oh, Daddy, I'm so glad you're my daddy, and we can have so much fun together.
Come on, Mary, sit down. Let's eat, shall we? I'm hungry.
Okay, Daddy. May I sit here by you?
Mm-hmm. Help yourself.
There, Daddy. I'm all ready.
Fine. Heavenly Father, thank you for this food. And thank you for little Mary. Bless this food to our use. Bless all of us, Mary, her mother, and me. And at last, may we be an unbroken family in heaven, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
What do you want first, Daddy? A roll or a sandwich?
Oh, I think a sandwich, please.
Here you are, Daddy. One for you and one for me.
This is a delicious sandwich.
You like it, Daddy?
Like it? Oh, your mother outdid herself when she made these sandwiches.
Daddy?
Hmm?
I made them.
You made these sandwiches, Mary?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no wonder they're good.
Don't you think I'm getting big, Daddy?
Indeed, I do. Anyone who can make delicious sandwiches like these is a very big girl indeed.
Daddy, do you love me?
Do I love you? What a silly question. Of course I love you.
Really love me?
Mary, my child, you are mine. My one and only daughter. You're my flesh and blood. You're sweet and good. Love you? I love you very deeply, Mary. I love you as only God can love his children.
I love you too, Daddy.
Thank you, Mary. I hope you'll always love me.
I will. Oh, I will, Daddy. I'll never, never leave you. I'll always stay with you and Mother. Always and always. Daddy?
Yes, Mary?
I want us to have a secret. Just you and me. Not even Mother will know it. Will you?
Well, what sort of secret do you want us to have?
Oh, I don't know, Daddy. Just so it's a secret that no one knows but you and me and God and his angels.
Well, how about some sort of sign language?
What do you mean, Daddy?
Oh, something like the call I have with the sheep when they go astray. They know my voice and come when I call. But no other sheep would come, well, because they don't know my call.
And only you and I would know the secret of the call.
You like the idea?
Oh, yes, Daddy. It's wonderful. What would our secret call be? And what will it mean?
Well, let's say that when you hear me give our secret call, Mary, it means that you're to come home to me right away.
Oh, goody, goody, Daddy. That's a wonderful secret.
And when I hear you give our secret call, I'll know that you're in trouble and that I'm to come to help you.
Oh, Daddy, our secret will be something like the secret between God and me.
The secret between God and you? Do you have a secret with God, Mary?
Oh, yes. When the devil tempts me to be bad, I secretly ask God to send an angel to help me. No one but God hears me. But he does, and he sends an angel right away, too.
That is a wonderful secret between God and you, all right.
But that isn't all.
It isn't?
God calls me, too. When he wants me to do something for him, he speaks to my heart. No one can hear it but me. It's God's secret call to me. And I hear and answer him, too.
A little child shall lead them.
Don't you think your and my secret is like God's and my secret?
There's a wonderful, wonderful similarity, Mary dear.
Hurry up and make up our secret call, Daddy. I'm anxious to hear it.
All right. How about this?
Oh, Daddy. Daddy, that's wonderful. Do it again.
All right.
Oh, Daddy, we have a secret, don't we? Just you and me.
We do, my dear. Now, let me hear you give our secret call.
All right. I'll try.
No, no, Mary. Do it like this. That's better. Now try it again.
Mary went everywhere her father went, even to the railroad junction several miles from their home. while her father was busy putting the sheep in the railroad cars or at the small general store getting groceries, Mary would visit with Grandma Wolcott.
And that, my child, is the story of David and Goliath.
Grandma, how do you know so much about the Bible?
Oh, steady it, Mary, my child.
But you don't go to church, Grandma.
No, I don't go to church. I can't get about well enough for that, but I used to go to church.
You did?
Oh, yes. Back in Chicago, I went to church every week. Say, but I was a beautiful young lady in those days, Mary.
Tell me about Chicago, Grandma.
Chicago? Oh, you wouldn't understand, Mary.
Why wouldn't I?
Because Chicago's such a big place. Why, I used to stand on State Street, and believe it or not, almost every minute a horse and buggy or wagon or something would pass by. Every minute, mind you, Mary.
I'd like to see Chicago.
Oh, no, no, child. You stay away from Chicago. It's too big a place for a little girl. And it's awfully wicked, too. The very seat of sin and corruption. And I suppose that by now there's so many of them automobiles are running back and forth that a body'd have a terrible...
I gotta go now, Grandma. Goodbye.
Well, now, don't be in a hurry, Mary. You can at least...
I gotta go. My daddy's calling me.
All right, Mary. Come again whenever you can.
I will, Grandma. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mary, dear.
What you got cornered down in that hole anyway, Spot? A rabbit or a skunk or something? Come on, Spot, we gotta go home. Father's calling. I gotta go home now, Ethel.
Oh, Mary, stay a little while longer.
I can't. Father's calling. I gotta go.
Come back again, will ya?
Sure. Goodbye.
Ooh, but this water feels good to my feet.
Oh, Daddy's calling me to come home. Guess I'll better go right away.
The years pass. When Mary reaches her 21st birthday, she, her father, and mother decide that the best thing for her to do is to go to Denver and get a job. There's nothing on the plains for a young lady to do. So she packs her few belongings and, right now, stands at the station waiting for the train.
I hate to leave you, Mother and Father, but I have to.
We understand, Mary.
We'll miss you, though, Mary, terribly.
But don't worry about it, Mary. You just go on to Denver and get a job. And everything will be all right here with your mother and me.
I'll write to you every day.
I know you will, Mary. You're a good daughter.
And we know you won't do a single thing to disgrace yourself or us or Jesus.
Oh, Father, Mother, I do hate to go.
Come now. No tears now, Mary. We've talked this all over and... Why, your brain's almost here. So straighten up, my dear. Be brave. And write to us every day, Mary, and we'll be happy. Almost as happy as if you were right here with your mother and me.
All right, every day, I promise, Father.
And I also have a very nice roommate. Her name is Alice. Well, that's about all for now. But I'll write again tomorrow night. Good night. Your loving daughter, Mary.
Ah, my dear, she is a loving daughter, all right. So obedient and sweet. A credit to us.
For a long time, the letters came every day from Mary. Then she missed a day. Then another. The years pass. Finally, her letters come only every week or two, and then they cease altogether.
What's happened to Mary? She doesn't write anymore. It's been almost a year since her last letter.
Well, Mother, I guess we've lost a daughter.
She's dead?
No, but she's gone. She used to be our little girl, our obedient and lovely daughter. But she's left us, forgotten us. Evidently, she doesn't even pretend to be our daughter anymore. She has disowned us.
Oh, no, no, not that. Maybe something's happened to her. She wouldn't forget us. Maybe she is dead. Maybe she can write to us. Maybe
she... No, Mother. Mary is alive. She's
How
just...
How do you know she's still alive?
Sam Belden was in Denver last weekend. Saw Mary. But she looked the other way. Pretended not even to know him.
Oh, Mary, Mary. My little Mary, come home. Come home to your mother, your father. Oh, we love you, Mary.
I'm going to do it. I am.
What are you going to do, Pa?
I'm going to Denver and find Mary. I'll bring her home.
You go to Denver? How can you? We have no money, and Denver's a long way away.
I'll walk.
Walk? All the way to Denver?
Why not? Christ left heaven, didn't he? And came all the way down here to this world to seek and save the lost. Well, I guess I can walk to Denver to find our daughter.
But, Pa, maybe you can't find her in such a big city as Denver.
I can try, can't I?
But where will you stay when you get there? And what'll you eat?
Jesus had no place to lay his head, and God took care of him. Even the birds have no regular place to sleep, and the Lord takes care of them. I guess, Mother, the Lord will take care of me all right.
Even if you do happen to find her, Pa, how do you know she'll come back home with you?
I don't, but I love her, and I must give her the chance to come back, or to refuse, whichever she chooses. I'll find her. Tell her we love her. The rest will be her own decision.
All right, Pa. I guess that's what Jesus would do. When you leaving?
As soon, Mother, as I can find someone to take care of the sheep while I'm away. In a few days, perhaps.
Clad only in a shepherd's smock, with a shawl about his shoulders, and a shepherd's staff clutched in his hand, Mr. Homer set out for Denver. Reaching the great city of Denver, Mr. Homer set about searching for his daughter. Day after day, he tramped up one street and down another. At night, he lay down wherever he happened to be, in a sheltered doorway, beneath a loading platform, or in a quiet corner of an alley, the shawl pulled tight about him for what warmth it afforded. Back and forth, up and down the streets he tramped, through the business district, past mansions, down in the slums, and even in the section of the city where sin walks hand in hand with evil and impurity. But all in vain. He could not find his Mary. Then, when he was about to give up and go back home, he happened to think of the secret call he used to use to call his Mary home. He started out again, up one street and down another, new hope burning in his heart, and the clear tones of the secret call coming out of his aged lips. Passersby looked at the old man in astonishment and laughed.
Look at the old man.
Up one street and down another. Day after day trudged the old father, calling, calling, calling for his daughter to come home.
time, Mary.
Oh, Joe, this is the best party I ever been at. I'm having the time of my life, thanks to you.
Well, thanks to you. Hey, you know, Mary, if you stick with me, I'll show you the best time in the world, okay?
Okay, Joe, but how about pouring me another drink, will you?
Yeah, sure, anything you say, Mary. I love a drink it is.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome, Mary.
What's that?
What's what?
I thought I heard something.
Well, you did. My heart.
I think I do hear something. Keep still, will you, Joe? Keep still, I said.
Well, I didn't
keep
mean
still, please. That. All of you, keep still. I do hear it.
You heard what? Come back here, Mary. Where you go?
Father, calling me home. Father.
Oh, Mary, my Mary.
You've come to take me home.
Yes, Mary, home, if you'll go.
Home. Oh, Father, I'm tired of this life of sin. If you and Mother will only forgive me,
Forgive you? Oh, my child, you are forgiven a million times over, my Mary.
Then,
my Mary.
Then take me home, Daddy.
Her old father, full of love and compassion, took Mary home and loved her back to decency and to God.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.